Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sharei. I don't know, it's towards the end of June. It's early on Zion Thomas, I believe. We are on page 120 of the second Sefer. We are learning Lilui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas, Miriam Frund, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashalom, her Neshama should have an Aliyah in the merit of our continuous Torah and learning. So we're on page 120, and we're still talking about Tefillah. Okay? So we will continue. Last time we spoke about smooth stones, and Esther added on something very beautiful about the broken luchos as well, and we said that what is broken and what is uncut has value as long as we use it for an impetus for growth and change, not just to ponder that it's broken and uncut and how bad it is, but to use it to move forward. And that was the topic of last week's shir, so we're at the bottom of page 120, please, okay? Okay, let's just go one paragraph up. Because Hashem is next to you. I don't think we did that. I think we did. Because Hashem is next to you. Do you remember? I'm asking a question. Does anyone remember?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay. Because we also spoke about last time Atar, Rabbi Sachs, and Rav Gifter Zatzal, who say Atar is the most important word. Because Hashem is next to you, you can relate to him, as the Maseil Sharim says, as a man speaks to his friend, it will be as if you were requesting from a family member. I think we did. Please bring me that object. Could you do that for me? In this way, you must speak naturally to Hashem and ask my wish to learn. Please help me understand the subject. So in other words, it's very important that sometimes when we talk to Hashem, I do this. I'll say, today I was stuck in traffic, and my son was so strange. There was traffic on Broadway at 10 to 1 this afternoon. I was headed to my lecture in the Nautilus. There was never traffic at that time, so I don't give myself extra time to get to Atlantic Beach from my house in, you know, quarter one. So I said, Hashem will help me. And maybe I should have said, you, Hashem, will help me, which is not the same thing. Hashem will help me. You will help me is a more intimate relationship. That is as if you're speaking to a family member. Like if I'm talking to my child in the kitchen, I don't say, Shmuel will peel potatoes. I say, could you please peel the potatoes? So what I need to say, what I need to try and train myself to say, that's the Atah. That's what we quoted Rabbi Sachs last time, Rabbi Gifter. You, Hashem, not Hashem as the third person. Mm. I wish to learn. Please help me understand. I wish to play. We did this paragraph. I wish to pray. Please help me pray properly. I'm going on a walk in the city. Please protect my eyes from seeing anything forbidden. By the way, I know we definitely did this paragraph last time because I've been working a little bit on Shmir Seinayim this week, and I know that generally it's for men, but that especially now in the season when you walk outside, it's very hard to avoid seeing inappropriate things. But I really have been trying to say, Hashem, please help me with Shmir Seinayim. Malk, you looked like you want to say something when I was saying Hashem and Atah. One second, is there a noise? Do I hear noise? No, it's my imagination.
No.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's like kind of almost disrespectful, because even when you refer to your father, right. My mother used to scream at me, don't call him you. Say right. The tata. You know, she was very, like...
So I think, I recall discussing this once a long time ago, I believe in the Shia, but I think, especially coming up to the Yom Noraim, the High Holidays, and it's something that we invoke repeatedly, which is Avinu Malkeinu. Hashem is both aspects. On the one hand, he's our king, which is a more distant relationship of reverence, and then you would not say, you, hey you, Chas V'Shalom. But father is supposed to indicate a close, familiar relationship and a more intimate, personal relationship. But I hear, I hear what you said.
When kids are angry, they'll go, when your kids are, my kids were angry, they would go to my husband and go, she's driving me crazy. She? Who's she? Her name
First
is
of all,
mommy.
She's driving me crazy.
Her name is Mommy. Yeah. Mommy. Do not call her a she. So I'm just...
I understand. I hear. You're right. Yeah. But there's both ways. On the other hand, we want to feel very close to Ribbono Shel Olam, and we should feel very close to Ribbono Shel Olam. And we need to do this to focus on the Atah for these issues. But I understand, for all the issues that trouble you, you should speak to your Creator. Okay, so I don't know. Should I say in the car, Hashem will help me? It's also an opportunity for chinuch. There's traffic. How am I going to deal with it? My son is in the car. Or should I say, you will help me? I don't know. Maybe if I would say, you help me, my son would think I'm talking to him. And he's 12. How is he going to help me? Okay, next line. I'm going to my screenshots on purpose. Welcome, because I took a picture of something I want to share. Okay, welcome. Come in. Okay. So, Nancy, did you want to say something before?
You did.
Yeah, go ahead.
A memory was brought back, what Malki said. My grandmother, my paternal grandmother, if I complained about my mother to her, she would, and I said, she doesn't do the same thing. She didn't do, and my grandmother would say, not she, that's your mother. What was really funny is that those two couldn't stand each other. But it was hysterical. They couldn't stand each other, but I wasn't allowed to say she.
Very nice. See?
That's funny.
See? Okay, the Indian of teaching respect. Very cute. But you ladies are correct, except that we're supposed to feel very close to Hashem. So, on the other hand, we're supposed to...
You've said many times that the whole Shekhinah, Shekhin, that's supposed to be like your neighbor.
Right.
Is that kind of...
Closeness. Intimacy.
If it's so far away, then you don't feel like you can call upon him to actually...
So what are you saying?
Right, I'm saying I'm not sure about this...
That's what I'm saying. It goes both ways. I think it also relates a little bit to the attributes of Din and Rachamim. Avinu, Malkeinu, the king, being an aspect of Din, strict justice, and there's more distance. The king in the palace, the king in the Shushan Abir, and I'm like a maidservant in province 26, so there's a big distance to me and the king, whereas Avinu, father, is more intimate, and that relates to Rachamim. I think vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's both. I think that we are both aspects of these relationships. Sometimes he interacts with Din, we shouldn't know. Sometimes interacts with Rachamim. Okay, anything else? Can I interrupt the shir for 1 second? Just say something beautiful. Lesson Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. This isn't really on the topic of the shir. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, we're going into the 3 weeks when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of three cardinal sins, Le'ag V'Yavros, and the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sin Eschinim, even though the Gemara also says they also speared each other in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash with swords of their tongues. So your mother's so Almeh Ve'Esrim Shana. She prepares me water every week. She always makes sure I get my bracha from the other lady. Today my son was with me, so the other lady was able to give my son a bracha. Anyway, today during the lecture, the lady next to your mother was coughing. So your mother, are you looking? She went like this to her. And the lady didn't even realize what was happening. She looked at your mother, and your mother just smiled at her. She was like patting her back and smiling because she was coughing. She wanted to make her feel better. It's very, very beautiful. One time in the lecture I said I was cold. She literally took off her sweater to give it to me. I said, no, I'm okay. Really, unbelievable. May Vesum Shana. Beautiful. Okay. Okay. During your time of solitude, bottom of page 120, or at a certain opportune moment, you should, in fact, try to pour out all your feelings before Hashem. And this is something that we've spoken about in terms of his quote. So I'm actually going to quote from my friend, Zahava Farbman. I'm sure some of you know her. My friend and colleague, Zahava Farbman. In her, she sends out a daily email, Soul Sisters. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Okay. So did you happen to read today's?
No.
Okay, so it's interesting because this is today's, okay? It's through yeshivas. What is this? Yeshivas Tar Shimon. Okay. So it's a daily email. And what she says is, she's talking about solitude. And she says that solitude, okay, look, he says, during your time of solitude, or at certain opportune moments, you should try and pour out all your feelings before Hashem. Solitude. Okay. What does she write, or speak, whatever? Solitude is the state of being alone without being lonely. Creativity flourishes in solitude. It allows you to dive into ideas, focus on problems, think outside of the box, and reach deep within yourself and into your imagination in a way that is not possible around others. I'm going to repeat. I think it's brilliant. Solitude is the state of being alone without being lonely. Creativity flourishes in solitude. It allows you to dive into ideas, to focus on problems, to think outside the box, reach deep within yourself and your imagination in a way that is not possible when others are around. And she says that I think of his spodidus, which is so much of what our author speaks about, conversing alone with God, when I read secular definitions of loneliness and solitude. Rabbi Nachman speaks a lot about his spodidus, got a quiet place, a forest, your backyard, and just be alone with Hashem. And feeling alone with Hashem is not a negative state like loneliness, like lo tov heyos adam levado. Rather, it is solitude. Just being alone and connecting with Hashem. And that helps us feel higher. Even when I go through, she says, Gam ki elech begeitz amaves lo ira ra ki ata imadi. David HaMelech says in Tehillim that even when I walk in the shadow, what is wrong with me? In the valley of death, I will not fear. You are with me. Even when I go through the depths of Gehenim, perhaps, God forbid, the lowest, darkest, most difficult situations, I know Hashem is with me, and we can connect to that solitude to help us get through all times. So I thought it was very beautiful. Solitude is the state of being alone without being lonely. And we can be in solitude with Hashem, and we should be in solitude with Hashem. And what should we do during that time of solitude or at certain opportune moments? Try to pour out all of our feelings before Hashem. So because the Hava quoted, Gam Kelech Begeit Samaves, Lo Ira Raki Ata Imadi, so now I could never... ever, my memory should serve me well, may Vesum Shana, read that pasuk without thinking of Miriam Peretz, and you will hear why. Okay, 8 candlesticks, just like before, 6 children, a husband and a wife. Then I reached towards the, even 8 candles, even though 3 members of the family are no longer with her. Then I reached towards the printed blessing that stand on the shelf, but I can't find any blessing that fits, says Miriam. One says, may it be your will that you act compassionately and have mercy on my husband. How could I say that? He didn't have mercy on my husband. Eliezer couldn't cope with the death of Uriel, our oldest son, and his heart failed. On the other hand, maybe God did have mercy and compassion on my husband because he didn't have to witness the death of Eliraz. So sometimes I change it, act compassionately and have mercy on me. These are her prayers at the time of candlelighting. But that doesn't fit either. I've never prayed for anything for myself. I don't even know what that means. And another tefillah, I find God give me the privilege of raising children and grandchildren, wise and God-fearing Torah scholars. Aren't I resentful? I raised my children to be Torah scholars. Fearing God was part and parcel of their everyday lives. Why didn't I merit raising all of my sons? Each Shabbat Eve, each Erev Shabbat is different from the one before. So when none of those written blessings seem to fit, she makes up her own tefillah. And I say, protect them all from me, says Miriam. I recite the names of my children and grandchildren. Sometimes I make mistakes, I get mixed up. I skip a granddaughter, mix up a grandson, then I get scared and I start all over again. Later, when I sit down at the table, I'm spooked by a breeze if one of the candles blows out. A sense of foreboding. Whose candle was extinguished? Why? The candles a person saw. So every Shabbat is different, like every visit to Har Herzl. Sometimes I get there and I see both of them, Uriel and Eliraz, standing before me, walking towards me. I catch my breath. Sometimes the stillness is so profound, I hear the fluttering of a bird's wing. Solitude, alone, being lonely with Hashem is not being lonely. It's so quiet, she's so alone. She hears the fluttering of a bird's wing. She hears the rustling of the branch. I feel I have joined my sons in Eden. Sometimes I stand in front of the stone, she means our matzeva, it's just a stone, cold and silent. Sometimes I light a candle, I clean the stone, I water the plants. Sometimes I take out the little book of Tehillim that I placed under the head of each tombstone, and I open up a page, and it's written especially for me, Miriam Peretz. And I read, Gam ki eilech begeitz amaves lo irara ki ata imadi, even when I walk in the valley of the shadow of darkness, I don't fear you're with me. And I glance at the heavens. Gam, even? I'm already walking in the valley of darkness, and yet lo irara, I live the verses of Tehillim and I take comfort. Maybe it wasn't just coincidental. Maybe it's no accident that God's computer is stuck specifically on the Peretz family. This is just the introduction to the book, but she speaks about specifically this idea without using the word of hispodidus, this idea of being alone, this idea of praying in your own words, this idea of talking to God, and that when none of the tefillos by candlelighting makes sense, so what does she do? She makes up her own, and that when she goes and she stands by Rachmana Litzlan, you should only hear Besuros Tovos when she stands at the grave of one son and she stands at the grave of the other son and she takes out the Tehillim and she reads, Gam ki eilech begeitz amaves, even when I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. What does Gam mean, says Miriam? I am already walking here. Okay, let's go on. This again is the meaning of, any questions or comments? Okay. Is the meaning of pour out your heart as water. Shifchi kamayim libech. Interestingly, that pasuk is from Eicha, and he actually quotes a number of verses from Eicha in this passage. Of course, we're coming up to that, not in such a long time. But throughout the day, you should speak to him as if speaking to a friend. See what he says? Malki?
Yeah.
And Ali, what Elisheva answered with you, see, yeah. and sort of what you said also, there's definitely two sides. But speak to Hashem as if you're speaking to a friend, because you don't want to say, like Elisheva said, you don't want to feel, we're not supposed to feel a sense of distance. You should feel just as the chair and table are here, so is Hashem, and even more so. Just as you speak to your family members, he's definitely not talking about a sense of like, you know, third degree
relations. You're not going to say, hey, you, God. You know, you're going to talk to him like you would a good friend. Like you want a closeness, but you still have to be respectful.
Of course. Yeah. So that's Rav Shimshon Pinchas says in his book on Gates of Prayer, Sha'arim B'Tefillah, that the danger with, you know, pigi'ah, which is relentlessly entreating, is that you could come to ask and ask and ask and ask in a way that could not be respectful. So what should you do when you don't know the words? So Pinchas says, say a lot of Tehillim. A lot of Tehillim can be only good. We're not saying that there should be a lack of respect, Chalil v'chas, in addressing the Ribbono Shel Olam, but it should be a sense of closeness. You know, on Sunday I was on the way home from the airport, and the Uber driver, I was not very so comfortable with this particular Uber driver. He was switching back and forth between navigation apps. He was checking his WhatsApp. He got a phone call, and I don't use my phone when I'm driving. Nobody should use their phone when you're driving. Public service announcement. Put away. Nothing that just blinked on your phone is as important as your life, or, I'm sorry, as the person crossing the street in front of you. You don't need to read the message now. Anyway, he's going back and forth on his phone. So I said, you know, could you just put on Waze and leave it? I'm not so comfortable that you're switching back and forth and checking your phone. Could you please stop checking your phone? So then he gave me Waze, his phone. I should put in my address. Okay, he was not the safest driver. He's weaving, he's going fast, he's short stopping. So what did I say in the car, in my head? I said, Hashem, you're driving this car. I said, you're driving this car. You're going to get me home to where I have to go. This person is not driving this car. You're driving this car. So Baruch Hashem, I'm here. So I got to where I needed to be. But it's the awareness that it's not a disrespect, chas v'shalom, but it's a certain closeness that just like the table and chairs here, even more so, that must be with Hashem. Okay. Is your hand up? Okay. I shall walk before Hashem in the land of the living. Asalech l'fnei Hashem ba'artzos hachayim. One of the 10 terms of tefillah is tza'aka, crying out. As it says, tza'ak libam, their heart cried out to Hashem. So very interesting, if you look at the end note on that page, where is that pasuk from? I'm on page 121, ladies. That pasuk is from? Eicha. Just like pour out your heart like water before Hashem. So I went to, this is Insights in the 3 weeks, and this Eicha Rav Chaim Kani Avsky Shlita. So I'm going to quote from this, okay? I'm on the top, second paragraph on page 120. Tza'ak libam, which means their heart cried out to Hashem. Okay? So I'm going to read the pasuk to you. Tza'ak libam el Hashem. Their heart cried out to Hashem. Chomas bas Tzion, the wall of the daughter of Tzion, Horidi kenachal dima yomam v'layla, sheds tears, Horidi, to cause to come down like a river tears by day and by night. And it's so powerful when the Megillah speaks about Yerushalayim herself. As a personality, Yerushalayim herself cries over the destruction of her children. Al titni pugas lach, al tidom bas einaych. Give yourself no respite. So the Megillah says, I'm quoting from Megillah's Eicha now. Their heart cried out to Hashem. The wall of the daughter of Tzion sheds tears like a river, day and night. Give yourself no respite. Do not let the apple of your eye be still. Kumi roni balayla. Now, what do you think that means? Kumi means get up. Roni, Reish Nun Yud. Roni Balayla. What does that mean?
Like Rina.
Okay, so we would think, Rina is like, Roni is like the word Rina. Rina means?
That's song.
To sing, song. So what exactly are we talking about here in the Megillah, which is Lamentations, which is crying? So it's translated as arise, cry at night. But Rav Chaim is going to teach why, if it's cry at night, is it the word Roni, which comes from Rina, which is song. By the way, one of the 10 gates of prayers is Rina. One of the 10 gates of Sha'arim B'Tefillah is Rina. Kumi, Roni Balayla, get up, cry at night. The Rosh Ashmurus at the head of watches. And here we go. Shivchi Kamayim Libech, Nochach Pnei Hashem. You should pour your heart like water opposite Hashem. Si'i Elav Kapayach. raise your hands to God, al nefesh olalayich, over the souls of the young ones, ha'atufim bira'av, who swoon with hunger, birosh kol chutzos. The worst destruction that we could fathom, and it really pairs well with, unfortunately, b'chukosai, the klalus of b'chukosai and the klalus of kisava. Yeah. Can you talk a little louder? I'm having trouble.
Words, pour out your heart. You're pouring. Pouring means you're from above. You can't pour upwards. You have to pour downwards or sideways. And then nohav, your opposite. And then you're, the pasuk continues.
See, is to raise up your hands.
It's just like so poetic. All the turmoil of up and down, and it's just like.
So what are you saying?
The emotional. The emotional chaos
of
the tefillah
of Yerushalayim of yeah. Tzion.
But just even
very nice.
If you do that anytime you're in a trauma.
Kumi before. Is get up. Roni, is it singing? Is it crying? Shifri kamayim, water doesn't pour from down to up. You have to be above to pour above. So that means you're somewhere above pouring down. Si'i means to raise up. I love the word you used, emotional chaos. And that is really so, wow. Very representative of Churban. Not only, I was preparing my Tisha B'Av Shia this afternoon. I spent time 1:30 Be'ezras Hashem. I don't like to say Be'ezras Hashem. If we have the Yom Avelus, then we should all be well. I will be speaking at 1:30 at the Young Israel of What Merit. It's open to everybody. What?
Haba Aleinu Letova.
What did she say?
Haba
Aleinu Letova.
Say it again.
Haba Aleinu Letova.
Tisha B'Av?
Yeah.
It should be a happy day.
Okay. Should be zocha to the geula. It should be turned into a day of simcha. So anyway, it's at 1:30. Okay. Be'ezras Hashem. We should be well. That's the Be'ezras Hashem. Okay. What do I want to say? I was working on my shiur this afternoon at length. And Rav Salvechik speaks about the different levels of galus and the different exos, and that they're all really the same. There's not just one churban. There's not just churban based in Mikdash. There's churban Europa and churban Germany and churban Bavel and churban Edom, and they all mesh together. And Tisha B'Av is the day to commemorate all these disasters. So really, when we think of churban, we should never know whether it's on a personal level or whether it's on a national level. And it's beautiful the term used. It really is an emotional chaos. It's a total emotional chaos. Miriam Peretz describes when they come to tell her. She describes when her first son, when she got the news of her first son, and when she got the news of her second son. And the word emotional chaos is a very apropos term, and that you're saying you see it in the Megillah itself. Very beautiful. Very beautiful. Very nice. Kumi, get up. Roni Belaila. We have to say, what does Roni mean? At the head of the watch, pour out your heart like water before Hashem. Lift your hands over the souls of the young ones who swoon in the streets from hunger. Here we go. So you said Roni's from Rina Chaya. Here we go. The word Roni, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shita, is usually used as an expression of joy, related to Rina, rejoicing or song, which is one of the Sha'arim B'Tfilah, one of the gates of prayer, because we don't only pray in times of tzaros, we don't only pray za'aka, tza'aka, sha'ava, pigiya, we also pray in times of joy. We all know that, you pray in times of joy. Here, it's clear from the context of the verse, which is pour out your heart like water, that Roni refers not to prayer, not to rejoicing, but to prayer. Kumi Roni Balaila means get up, not sing in the night, but rather scream in the night, pray in the night, cry in the night. So why? Well, any ideas? I'm asking you before I tell you. Rav Chaim Kanievsky explains why, if we're talking about crying at night and praying at night and longing for a better time at night, do we use this word, which also has a dual implication of Rina, which is some degree of song or joy? People sing when they're in pain?
Yeah. Like the songs that, Rachmana Litzlan, the song that came out, like the famous Rachel
Holly Major song by Simcha Leiter after the Fogel tragedy.
Oh, yeah.
That's when he composed that song.
Oh, that video. Have you seen the music video talking about Tisha B'Av and Churban? Okay, go ahead.
So the song is a very deep, it comes from a very deep heart in a person's...
Okay, so Rosenfeld, Malachi Moshe Rosenfeld, after he was killed in a terror attack a couple of years ago, and his older brother Yitzhak Menachem Rosenfeld, Malachi Moshe and Yitzhak Menachem, two brothers... from the same family, a number of years apart, fell, and they were named after the father's brother, Yitzchak Moshe. The father's brother, Yitzchak Moshe Rosenfeld, I believe was killed in a training accident. Then he named his two sons. One was Malachi Moshe, and the other one was, what did I say? Yitzchak Menachem, I don't remember exactly, yeah? So they're both named after the uncle. And after the second one fell, it's interesting you're saying that. He's a musician. He plays on the flute. At the Hankin Shloshim, he came to play music, Ani Mamin. And I saw a video, some of the most heart-rending videos I've ever seen. It's a two-minute video at the levaya of his second son, who was shot in a drive-by shooting. And he's holding on to his two younger sons. And he's singing Va'afil Behisteria. At the levaya of his son, Malachi Moshe Rosenfeld, who was probably killed in about 2015, Hashem Yikom Damo, was the second son to be lost after his eldest son, Yitzchak Menachem, was killed. After the uncle, his brother, was killed. And he was singing V'afil Behisteria. He was holding on to his two sons, but he wasn't only singing, he was like screaming, singing, crying, a whole combination. So again, you brought up the word emotional turmoil. And when we open up a passage of Churban, that is really Tza'ak Libam El Hashem. Their heart screams out to Hashem. The wall of the daughter of Zion. So on the other end, it's a wall. On the other end, they're pouring. On the other end, they're screaming Dima. There's tears by Dina. Very nice. So from a place of pain, a person does sing. So you're saying that even though it's Roni, it's praying, it's Rina, it's song, from a place of pain. Anything else? Very nice.
And that the concept is that, like, when you're singing, and it's the same for one of the keynotes also, that, like, the end one, when we talk about, like, Yerushalayim, and then, like, the ending of Yerushalayim, like, one of the last keynotes that we do. And it's, like, all these songs, because that's what you lead with, that, like, the song is what sticks with you. And, like, sometimes, like, even when things are, like, deep in the night, or when you're deep in it, and, like, you can't necessarily carry that feeling over, or that connection, but a song sticks with you. The song is like stuck in your head for a while.
It's true, so therefore, why does it have to do with Churban Yerushalayim?
That the kino, like the last one that we do of the kinos of Tisha B'Av morning is that kino that's like a song, because like that's what we leave with. It sticks with us like probably to like Shabbos Nachum.
I understand, but how are you relating so that to our question here?
So then it carries over, like that connection wasn't limited to that like moment of solitude. Song that we sung out to Hashem
very
in that moment
nice.
Is what continues with us. That, like that song carries us through.
The song of Churban carries through and with us through all the subsequent.
Like even after if we start to come out of that darkness a little bit, that connection, that song, that's how we hold out.
You think of Al Naros Babel. You think of the
very
word
nice.
Through with
song.
Every time I hear Al Naros Babel. That's, I could cry right now.
So you're saying...
The song brings out emotion.
Very nice. Both beautiful thoughts. Both very, very nice thoughts. Very, very nice. So I'll tell you, my Zahava Farben also speaks about something interesting. She says one of her daughters had a teacher who taught everything by song. I don't remember in which grade, because why this teacher's grandmother, when she was sick with Alzheimer's, the only thing that this elderly woman remembered was songs. She would just sing songs of her youth. And it struck me recently when the two of us did a tefillah presentation recently in New Jersey. I can't believe I never thought of it before for all the many times I've heard her say it. I think the only thing I remember, and I'm not going to sing it now because this is going onto a public forum, but I remember the song, I don't know if it was algebra that I learned in high school, you know, many years ago, I must have been 11th grade. When you multiply, cancel, and when you divide, you actually multiply, but first you must reciprocate, do it first or it's too late. I know the whole tune in my head. It was probably like 27, 28, 26 years ago. How do I remember that? Beautiful what you just said, Joanna, because the song sticks with you. So Kumi Roni Balaila, Larosh Ashmus, get up and sing of the Churban at night at the head of the watches, so that wherever we go, Eich Nashir, Ashir Hashem, Al Admas Nechar. How do you want us to sing the song of God on foreign soil? It's the song of God that always come with us that perhaps represents the Churban in the most profound sense. That even when we're 1800, 1900 years later, when we recall the songs of Tzion, we still feel like crying. Beautiful. Very, very nice. Both beautiful thoughts. Very nice. Anything else? Yeah?
I was thinking of it a little differently, that... if you cry out and you do, you know, all that davening, and recognize everything about the Churban and whatever we're supposed to be doing, you know, thinking about what we're supposed to be thinking about, it might lead to the Yeshua, which will lead you to be happy. Like, not that.
Oh, very nice.
You know, not that the. You have to go through that pain to get to the joy in the end.
Very nice. Beautiful, that feeling the pain leads to prayer. Prayer leads to closeness to Hashem. Closeness to Hashem ultimately leads to what we say at the end of Eicha, Shuvenu al Hashem melechem v'na shuva, chadei shomenu kekadem, which will lead to the simcha.
Right.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Hayinu kechamim, az mali schok pinu ushal neinu, rina. When you go through the Churban and you are forced into a situation of prayer, if you didn't pray when it was good, so Hashem says, so now you're really going to pray when it's not so good. The prayer leads you to closeness to Hashem, which is really what the Mechaber is talking about over and over. How to become close to Hashem, beautiful. The closeness to Hashem leads you to repentance. The repentance ultimately leads to redemption, when you will really sing. Beautiful. Us, in the future, our mouths will be filled with laughter and our songs with joy, so and our tongue with joy. So perhaps this is also an allusion, you're saying, to the song that will come when it's no longer churban, but it's been in beautiful. All three, beautiful.
So what does our
climb? Very nice.
What does our climb Kanievsky say?
Yeah, I know, but we're going to get there. I didn't forget. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayimim. Beautiful. What was the first thing that Chai said? Remind what you said.
It comes from a deep place.
What?
It comes from a deep place.
It comes from a deep place.
That's not what you said, but what did we say? What was hers? I'm trying to review them.
That
I'm not testing you.
That song is like a way to express that like emotional pain.
Yeah.
Emotional pain is expressed through song.
Right, and I mentioned Malachi Moshe Rosenfield's that we see, what you said is that sometimes we sing from a place of pain, not only from joy. Yes, absolutely related to the Churban. What Joanna said is that, don't tell me, I'm not trying to test you, I'm trying to review them. What Joanna said, what Elishama said is that the Churban is going to lead to prayer. The prayer is going to lead to closeness. Closeness will lead to teshuva. Teshuva will lead to the redemption. Redemption will lead to the true song. What did you say?
That it stays with you. That like the song is what kind of carries you through the rest.
Correct.
Of
we carry the songs with us, even when we don't remember acutely, perhaps, what the actual Churban was like. And the truth is, the Maisa, do we really remember what Churban Beis HaMikdash was like? I'm asking us all, you're saying this, David, do we really, if we're intellectually honest, remember exactly what Churban Beis HaMikdash was like? But why, when you sit at a chuppah and they sing Eim Eshkachach Yerushalayim, do you feel like crying? Because the song moves you. All geschmack. So now, does anyone, don't worry, I didn't forget that, I'm going to tell you what Chaim says, but does anyone have anything else? Because you never know, look where it's going. It's very, very good. Okay, I'm going to make a shaka called Berachat Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shaka called Nehi Abedvaro.
Amen.
Anything else? We sing not only from joy, from pain. The song stays with us, even when you can't remember other aspects of the math class, you know the song, and that ultimately the prayer of Roni will lead to the song of Rina. Beautiful. 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 Kumi Roni Balaila, Larosh Ashmuro, Shivchi Kamayim Libech, Nochach Pnei Hashem, Si Elav Kapayich Al Nefesh Ola Laich Atufim Bira'av Birosh Kol Chutzos. Kumi Roni Balaila. Ready? The word Roni is usually used as an expression of joy. related to Rina, rejoicing. Here, it's clear from the context, which talks about pouring out your heart like water, that Roni, Reishna Nyud refers to prayer. Rav Chaim explains, whenever we make a request of Hashem in prayer, what do we have to do first? What's the halacha? We learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu Ve'eschanan. That before you ask, oh, that's exactly right. Right?
When we daven every day, we do Shevach first.
Correct. But it's based on Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. La'olam yisader adam shivcho sham makam va'achar kach yispalel. A person should always arrange the Shevach. It doesn't mean arrange. Offer the Shevach, the praise of God first, and then you should pray. So here we go. For example, we begin the Shemoneh Esrei with three blessings of praise, and then we begin with all of our requests. By describing prayer in this pasuk, in this Megillah, in Lamentations, with a word that implies joy, the verse is teaching us that despite all the tragedies described in the Megillah, when we praise Hashem, no matter what the situation, we must do so in a joyous manner. It's unbelievable that even in the deepest place of pain, you still have an obligation when you request the Geula to praise Him. Even when Yerushalayim is going through such tsa'akli bam, her heart's screaming, Chomas Bat Zion, the daughters of the walls of Zion, Haridi Kanachal Dima, Yamam V'layla, her tears are pouring like a river by day and night. And nevertheless, when we praise Hashem, we must do so in a joyous manner with the realization Hashem is all-powerful and can save us from any predicament at any moment. And that's really what Malachi Moshe Rosenfeld says. It's interesting. He wasn't just singing. Why was he singing? V'afil b'hysteria, shabitocha hysteria, gam sham vaday nimtza Hashem Yisparach. That even in the deepest, darkest, most hidden times of Hester Panim, which he on a personal level was clearly going through, he was saying, Gam Sham, what was he singing? He wasn't just singing, Gam Sham Nimsa Hashem Yisbach. That even there, in that place, Hashem is found. Okay, one more var from this. Yes?
There's a
could you talk loud? It's me. Just talk loud, please.
There's a certain Ani Mamin that people sing. That, wasn't that composed in the camps?
Yes.
Yeah. Song,
Ani Mamin,
that was composed in the camps.
Same idea. At the moment of horror, the worst moment.
The worst.
So she's saying the same thing that you were saying, basically. Agreeing that, you know.
Shivchi kamayim libeich nochach p'nei Hashem, which is a pasuk that has come repeatedly up in our Sefer, including the bottom of page 120. The Megillah implies that now, once the Beis Hamikdash, I'm still quoting from Chaim Kanievsky before we go back to our Sefer, one more var from him. The Megillah implies that now, once the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, it's not enough to pray. We actually have to cry. Before we could daven, now we have to cry. The Yismach Moshe explains, while the Beis Hamikdash stood, the Shechina was present amongst us. Whenever we needed something, we could just turn to Hashem and ask for it. With the Beis Hamikdash gone, the Shechina has left us. And the Gemara states, and this is the greatest consequence of the Churban, the Gemara states in Maseches Brachos 32b, it's as though there is an iron wall separating us. There is a Mechitzas HaBarzel. There is an iron wall that separates us from Hashem. If we want to get His attention, so to speak, we have to pray with more devotion, shedding tears, shedding prayers. And it's true, if you go back to the relationship of a father with a child, you know, if the child's asking for something quietly and nicely and you're distracted and there's other things going on, you're not as likely to necessarily pay attention, and the child turns on the tears and starts crying and sobbing, and maybe it even could go to a tantrum. Whether you're going to give it to him or not give it to him, that's a different story. However, you're going to listen. You're going to listen when the child starts screaming. Everyone else in the supermarket is also going to listen when the child starts screaming, because the tears bring attention. Oh, that's really what is brought down here. And now that the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, and there's a Mechitzas HaBarzel, there is such a distance between us and the Ribono Shel Olam Rachmanu, we're still waiting for the day when Roni will become Rina. The four insights that we offered, the three offered were beautiful, and Rav Chaim's obviously doesn't need our endorsement. But the tears bring our plight. much more to the attention of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, than without tears. Because as the Gemara, and then he famously quotes the Gemara, Maseches Baba Metzia, from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you know this, all the gates were locked, except for Kol She'arim Na'alim Chutz Misha'arei Dima. And therefore, Yirmiyahu says, Shivchi Kamayim Libech Nochach Pnei Hashem. If you want to get Hashem's attention now, because now it's the Churban, it's not enough to just say the words. You really have to cry. You have to be having a tantrum. Not in a disrespectful way, going back to what you said. Not in a disrespectful way. Not in a bad way, but in a way that we will get noticed. How will we get noticed? Through the tears, through the crying. Okay, let's go. Oh, this is a whole long next section. I don't know if we should start a new section, because it's like, this page and the whole next page, there's two types of crying and there's two types of shouting. No, it's not, right? It's not because it's time. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zocha. That we should always cry from simcha and not from joy. That the song should carry us into the triumphant song of the March of Mashiach. That the roni of pain will become the rina, and that even when, as Reb Chaim teaches, it's very, very dark. Afilu behesteria, shebetocha hesteria, Rabbi Nachman Masber, bevadai gam sham Hashem Yisparach. And for the fact that Hashem is always with us, even in the darkest of the darkest times, roni, we have to give thanks, rina. When we pray, we always must also give thanks. So Ezra Hashem, we shall have a week of besuras tovos. Anything else, ladies? And a very good Shabbos. Thank you. Thank you, ladies.